as good as anybody is. He's a networking son of a gun. He's a recruiting guy. He gets on the trail and develops relationships, much like my buddy from Atlanta, Robbie Nyswanger. What's going on, Robbie?
Not much, Pat. How are you today?
Pretty good, man. You know, we're celebrating. This doesn't happen too often. You know, Acri has got to take care of every once in a while some personal issues. I don't want to get into it on air, but it is an Acri-free zone where we like to give it back to the people. And you, sir, are a man of the people. Robbie?
I thought he was just celebrating Iowa State's big weekend.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine that? I asked him before the game, I said, if you had some special medicine that was only found on your tongue, would you go and lick George Nguyen's foot all over? And that was going to be the medicine for him to be able to play.
A little tongue save.
That's it. And he'd say, well, I definitely cut off a toe. I said, okay, one toe, one victory. He says he'd go up as many as three toes. So
wow.
There you go. It means a lot. Listen, what else Iowa State fans have to look forward to? This is it.
Not much.
Not much.
Yeah, this is it.
Jamal
this is
Tinsler.
It. This run right here. This
Jamal Tinsler.
Run. That's it.
Robbie, we have a lot to talk about. Of course, it's spring football. We have Razorback basketball tonight. NIT, Cal. We'll get to that. Just because it's the first thing on top of my head, I guess let's talk some March Madness. And who hosed you? Anybody?
Who owes me?
Hosed you. Who screwed you?
Me.
Who messed up your bracket?
I did not fill out a bracket.
Oh, come on. Somewhere on the bottom of your desk, there is a little paper that you definitely filled out. Don't give me that.
I was going to say, but if I filled out a bracket, I definitely was going to have Dayton and Tennessee in it. There's no doubt. No doubt. I mean, without a doubt, I had those. I mean, you know, come on. No, yeah, it was so busy last week, I just didn't get around to doing it. It was football, basketball, baseball, all kinds of things. But so I didn't get hosed, and that's probably a good thing because I would have been hosed, I'm sure. I would have thought Kansas, even though their big man was injured, I thought they would have made it to the Sweet 16.
Boy, didn't you think that's that right there, that team surprised me so much because I have the highest respect for Bill Self, not only as a recruiter, not only as an in-game coach, but also – for him dealing with his guys and developing them and making sure that they're better, a lot better from the day he sees them until they leave. And you look at Wiggins and Seldon Jr., and they may have had their most insignificant games over the weekend. And it makes no sense. You have two kids that are arguably long, long-time NBA players in those two kids. Wiggins, top three guy maybe. So that shocked me. That was a real disappointment to see how those guys came out.
Yeah, and that's the best way to put it. It's a disappointment because when you think about the tournament, you know, obviously everybody likes to see teams like Dayton, you know, survive and advance and, you know, really experience this great high. But, you know, you also want to see the stars. And for a guy like Wiggins, you know, you thought this is a great chance to see, you know, a star in the NCAA tournament before he probably goes to the NBA. And unfortunately, it's just one game. And yeah, you're right. I mean, what did he finish with? 4 points? Something like that?
I think his brother, Nick Wiggins, who plays with Wichita State, outscored him.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing when you see a guy like that go down. And then, you know, the same thing for a guy like Jabari Parker. You know, you miss seeing him try to make a tournament run with Duke. So, you know, that's this tournament, though, sometimes just that the wacky things tend to happen. And sure enough, it did. And there's a couple stars that are out. You know, Syracuse, too, I was shocked that they went down against Dayton. I thought they would have been able to win that game. But, you know, it's great run for Dayton. And I love the fact that Dayton's president is crowd surfing through the streets.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, that's just fantastic.
It's probably not too many of the situations where you can get away with that and everyone's actually cheering him. Our president's drunk and he's crowd surfing.
That's probably about it. That's probably the only reasonable explanation. You know, okay, if your team gets this week to 16, you're allowed to do that. But any other time, forget about it.
What is there any other surprises? Has any teams or players made you into a believer of them that you previously were not?
No, I you know, maybe to an extent Kentucky, because you know we kind of saw them in disarray a lot. You knew how talented they were. They just hadn't lived up to those expectations, and I didn't really think they were going to be able to get it done against Wichita State. But you got to give them credit. I mean, and Cal credit too, I guess. You know, whatever he's done, you know, I know he's tried to press buttons all season long.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's roasting them or just backing off them, but whatever it is, it's working right now. So, I was surprised to see them advance. I didn't think they were going to be able to get it done. But, I mean, now you look at it, and, you know, if they play like that, who can beat them, you know, if they continue to do that? So it's going to be a fascinating game in Sweet 16, Kentucky and Louisville. You know, that state's going to be all riled up for that one. That's going to be a fun one. But if they can get past Louisville, you know, I don't see any reason why they can't get to the title game. And we'll see. Obviously, I guess they would run into – what, probably Arizona in the Final Four, so that might be the team that could stop them. But
well, you look at Kentucky, they'd have to beat Louisville, then they'd have Louisville, and then they'd have to beat Michigan, provided Michigan can get past Tennessee, which is maybe the most intriguing matchup of next weekend, considering how those two teams play. The difference. Yeah. Although Michigan is tough, they inside, outside, great passing team. They can run. They can run half court offense. That is a team that's flying under the radar, and that's probably a good thing for those guys, which is amazing since they went to the national championship game last year.
How about Kentucky and Tennessee in the Elite Eight?
I thought about that, and
what would you think about that one?
For Kentucky, that'd be great. If Kentucky were to make it that far in Tennessee, I think Kentucky would beat them just because. For them to beat Louisville, they're going to have to shoot the ball well, like they did, and you know they're going to rebound. You know they're going to rebound. I mean, they've got too much inside offensive rebound. But if they can shoot like they did against Wichita State, there's not too many teams that are going to be able to beat these guys. I mean, you're talking maybe Florida and Arizona, and Michigan State.
Absolutely.
But that's all.
The point I was getting to is it's just fascinating that this team was in so much disarray, it seemed. And then now all of a sudden, you know, what you just said, there might not be many teams that could beat them. Mm. So this is how far Kentucky's come in a couple of weeks, really.
It's fun to see the stages of Calipari, because last year, he was going through the same thing last year. There was times when, if you remember, he was sitting down Archie Goodwin. He was sitting down anybody he had to, trying to get their attention, trying to push some buttons. Didn't work. They lost to Robert Morris and NIT. He's doing the same thing this year, and something happens where he's able to get to these guys. He's got them playing hard, got them playing defense, rebounding, and listen, making shots is really what separated them the other day. So, all right, now after the first weekend, who are the teams that you can expect, or from what you've seen, you think get a good chance going all the way to the Final Four now?
Well, you know, let me start with Arizona. I mean, that team, I got to watch last night. You know, I finally had everything done and got to watch them last night. They were really impressive. You know, maybe it was partly because of the opponent or whatever, I don't know. But I just think that they're a team that's really headed for the national title game at this rate. So. And then on the other side, it's hard to pick against Florida right now just because they're finding – it's not pretty. Mm. It's not pretty. You know, they didn't cruise through the first couple games, but they just know how to win basketball games with their experience. And, you know, so at this point, you know, if I'm looking at it, I would guess that those two teams would get there and have an Arizona-Florida matchup. And, you know, that's probably what, you know, everybody – you know, is looking at or thought of when they started this thing. You know, that would be the boring picks, I guess, because they're really the top two teams. But I don't see why it couldn't happen, because I just think they're the most talented teams. I think they're the best teams. That's probably the key thing, too. You know, they work very well together.
Yeah, you got a couple of monster matchups when you talk about Virginia, Michigan State. That Florida-UCLA game is going to be a fun game to watch. Going to be a lot. UCLA can score with the best of them.
Yeah.
Got some really good matchups. Robbie, nice Swanger with us. Let's switch over to a little NIT talk. Hogs taking on California in the NIT tonight. Cal's big man, Richard Solomon, who was one heck of a – he's a double-double guy. I guess, is he still suffering from concussion?
Yeah, he's not going to play.
Not playing at all.
He's not going to play. That's what Mike Montgomery said yesterday, apparently. He's going to be out once more.
Do you know when he suffered that concussion? How long ago?
No. And you know, I haven't been able to read much about how it happened. I don't think it happened in a game or in practice, from what I understand. So that lets your imagination run a little bit. You know, how did this guy get a concussion?
You know what's interesting is when they played Cal in Maui, I guess, right? They did a short little story on him, and he's a big martial arts guy. Believe it or not. I don't know if it's karate or taekwondo. And you think about if this guy was, I don't know if he's sparring with somebody, what the case may be, but he is. That's one of the reasons he's so impressive. A kid runs like a deer, very flexible, big, tall guy like that, can do a lot on the floor. And he is, he's like a, I don't know, third-degree black belt or something insane like that.
It's a lot.
Wonder if he decided to get into the octagon last week at some point.
Man.
Took one
if
to the
that,
chin.
If that's the case, thank God Cal's not in the NCAA tournament for their own sake, you know?
Yeah,
I'd
no
like
kid.
To be in the NCAA tournament and then have this guy out with a mysterious concussion.
What does that mean for the Hogs?
Well, I mean, it's got to make them feel like they've got an even better chance, you know, to go out there and win if you're taking a guy like that off the floor. I mean, I think I read a stat where there's only six guys in the power conferences that were averaging double-doubles this year, and he was one of them.
Wow.
So he's a guy that obviously is very good on the boards, and we know, you know, looking back to that first meeting, Arkansas just really got bullied on the boards. You know, Cal really was able to get second-chance points, was really able to beat Arkansas. If you remember, that was the game where, you know, Portis went and sat on the beach afterward because he said he was so disappointed in his own play. You know, all by himself. He's sitting on the beach in Maui, you know, just trying to,
poor guy.
To soak that one up.
You mean on the beach?
Poor guy.
Oh, man.
Poor
tortured
guy,
out there.
I feel bad for those kids.
So, you know, so, it, yeah, it, there's certainly, it's a big challenge for Arkansas. They got to find a way to match these guys on the board and, you know, on the boards. And, you know, that's going to be key tonight.
If they lose again, obviously. I'm going to make Bobby Portis sit on my couch. You want to get depressed? That's a real punishment, pal.
I tell you what, Bobby. You go spend 3 hours on that beach, and you hush, and you think about what you've done.
Or 3 hours here in the zone. Now that is a punishment.
I was just going to say, have him sit, you know, in Atlanta 3 hours outside at your table trying to do radio.
Oh, my God, brutal. Seriously, I caught on fire. It was so, like the sun was directly hitting me. I caught on fire. My hand caught on fire 3 times right where the tomato soup got me. It was brutal.
No lie. After the 2 hours I was with you, I came back home, you know, and I was looking at my forehead like 2 days later, and I'm peeling. I'm like, what happened? I was like, wait a minute. I sat outside for 2 hours in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's my own fault.
For a couple of fair-skinned characters like us, it wasn't a good move to be right out there.
That's right.
Also, SMU-LSU, Hogs are going to play, if we can, carry out and tonight and beat Cal. We'll play the winner, SMU-LSU. Is that going to be on Wednesday? Do we know?
I think so, which seems a little unfair, but I guess it's just the way the NIT schedule is laying out. For everything I've seen, it would be a Wednesday night game. So that's a quick turnaround. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, let's say Arkansas wins and SMU wins. I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas left Cal and went straight to Dallas. You know, didn't even come back here since it's spring break up here anyways. So it's going to be a quick turnaround one way or another. But obviously Arkansas would love to win and be able to host for the right to go to New York City for the Final Four.
I would be surprised if the NIT isn't making sure that they schedule all their games before the tournament kicks. The NCAA tournament starts again on Thursday. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, I think that's the way the schedule's laid. I think the third round of the NIT is going to be Tuesday and Wednesday. And obviously you're not going to make Arkansas play on Tuesday after playing late tonight. So it would be a Wednesday game. Obviously, as we said, the location of Arkansas survives. You know, we don't know yet. If SMU wins, Arkansas is going to Dallas. If LSU wins, the game will be here in Bud Walton Arena.
Robbie, over the weekend, the baseball Hogs played. They went 2-1 versus Bama. Did you get a chance to go over and watch any of those?
Yeah,
games?
I was actually there Friday night for the 17-9 game, and that was ugly. It was brutal. And, you know, Arkansas's pitching just got beat up badly. That was the most Arkansas had surrendered since, I think it was 2005. So you're talking about something that obviously doesn't happen very often, especially with Arkansas staff. But, you know, you got to give them credit that the next 2 days, Trey Killian and then obviously Chris Oliver yesterday, they really shut down Alabama's hitting. Arkansas allowed one run over those final two games. And, you know, we got to talk to Oliver afterward, and, you know, we asked him about, you know, what was the difference between Friday night and Saturday and Sunday. He said, it's easy. They had our signs. They knew what was coming. They knew what was, you know, what we were throwing. And once we fixed that, you know, it's a little harder to hit the ball when you don't know what's coming. So, yeah, he was very adamant about that. We gave him a couple of chances. Like, are you just guessing that, or are you sure? He's like, oh, no, I'm sure. They had our signs. So, pretty interesting there. Obviously, that's not exactly cheating in baseball, because it's just kind of one of those things in the game, you know, where everybody's trying to get everybody's signs. And
well, how does it happen? Help me out with that.
What's that?
That's something that I'd imagine each team would take if they could get it. So how did he think they got that?
Talking to Oliver, he wasn't sure if they were getting. Obviously, when a man's on second base, they think that's how you're getting the signs from either the catcher or the pitcher's tipping it somehow. They think it. I think it probably came from Wise one way or another, or they knew the signs were catching drift of them, I guess, when they went from the dugout to the catcher or whatever. So I'm not sure the exact details of how they were able to get them, but they were able to get them one way, according to Oliver, and he thought that had the big that was why they were able to have so much success in the opener. Obviously, they had like 8 extra base hits, a couple home runs, a triple, 5 doubles, so they really tagged Arkansas in that game. But the rest of the weekend, like I said, one run, and Arkansas shut Alabama out over those final 15 innings of the series. So impressive recovery by Arkansas. They're still not great offensively, as we all know. But they've done better in these one run games here, and they got a nice series win now as they prepare for the next week and the next series, which is at Mississippi State.
And finally, before I let you go, spring football. Is there anything that jumped out at you about Coach B and what these guys have been able to do the last few practices?
Not really. On offense, I think it's all about the quarterback situation, what's happening there. I wrote a story on Brandon Allen for Sunday's papers, and, clearly this is a guy that understands he's in the competition for his job this spring, and, he's okay with that. His thing is that he feels like he's healthy. He feels like he's much more comfortable in this offense, going through it a second year, and he feels like he's going to prove that he's the guy. So we'll have to monitor that as the spring goes on, and I know that, there are certainly plenty of talented guys that want the job, starting with his brother Austin. So we'll see what they can bring to the competition when they get going again here. I guess April 1st is their next practice. So that's really what I'm watching, on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, I want to see, what this new staff can bring. How much can they help this defense? And when you're talking about Rob Smith and the defensive backfield, working with the DBs, and then Clay Jennings, another new coach as well. I mean, this is the area that has to improve dramatically. They got to do a much better job in coverage and not blowing assignments in the secondary. So that's going to be a key to the spring as well. So there's a lot of things we're going to look at here when they get going again in April.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the linebackers as well. This new look offensive line that's got a couple guys playing a couple different positions on it as they try to shuffle some guys around after losing Swanson and Hurd. So, it's a big spring for this program. Everybody knows it. You've got a 9-game losing streak that you're carrying into the spring and obviously the summer.
Yep.
And you got to find a way to make it in. So it starts right now in the spring.
Robbie Nyswanger, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. And look forward to talking to you again, I guess, on Wednesday.
Sounds good to me.
All right, buddy.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks to Robbie. And before we hit this break, Steve's been on.